We're going to be in Romans 8 today. So I hope you have your Bible and you can follow along. Today's theme is addressing the father wound. Yesterday was Groundhog Day. Did you know that? We kind of hinted to it during worship time. No one makes a big deal about Groundhog Day anymore, do they? It just isn't that big of a deal. But anybody know what was the result? What was the outcome? An early spring? And does that mean here in Oregon or just over in Pennsylvania where they do it over there, right? It's just kind of silly, isn't it? Right? Well, if he sees his shadow, how's it work? Goes back in for 7 days or something like that? For 6 more weeks? I'm glad you guys had that figured out. Last year, my wife was teaching her class of preschoolers, and she asked this question to some of her little kids. Does anyone know what today is? And the day happened to be Palm Sunday. And one of the little girls goes, I know it's Palm Sunday. Palm Sunday. And Bonnie said, that's fantastic. Good job. Does anyone know what next Sunday is? Same little girl raises her finger. Next Sunday's Easter. Yes, Bonnie said, that's great. Does anyone know what makes Easter so special? And the little girl raised her hand again. It's because it's when Jesus rose from the grave. And Bonnie was going to get ready to say, yes, congratulate God. Awesome. But before she could congratulate her, the girl continued. But if Jesus sees her shadow, he has to go back in for 7 weeks. Yeah. I kind of blew that joke, didn't I? Yeah. That's as good as I can do for today. A young woman wrote this. Lord, help us today, please, Lord. A young woman wrote this. My son was born 5 years ago. He appeared to be healthy at birth, but a few days later we discovered he had a defect. It wasn't visible. No one could see it, but it was there. It was serious. He had a hole in his heart, and he was born that way. But within a week after we discovered it, the doctors opened his chest, repaired the hole in his little heart. He was able to go on with his life in a normal way. He's not even aware yet that he had a hole in his heart. Then she says, I wish I could say the same. My son and I are alike. We've both had holes in our heart. He was born that way and it was repaired. I wasn't born with one, but over my childhood years, the hole was created and it grew larger as I grew. The hole in my heart is the shape of my father. Physical surgery won't repair the hole. It will take something like emotional surgery or healing for it to slowly close. I'm not sure how to go about the process. I'm confused. I just want a whole heart. It's too bad there are no heart transplants for this kind of disorder. Then I read a quote from John Kitta in Men's Health magazine, secular thing. But he wrote this after his father's death. He says, I'm still waiting for my father to talk to me about sex, success, money, marriage, religion, raising kids, anything. The shame of it is, I don't know a man my age who doesn't feel like he's navigating his life without a map. I don't know a man who feels like he's living his life without a map. The Lord spoke through Jeremiah many, many years ago and said this, you can't heal a wound by saying it's not there. Or more literally, what he said was, you can't put a Band-Aid over a compound fracture, right? A compound bone fracture. The Band-Aid just won't fix it. And yet many of us, we try to do that with our lives. We don't want to feel our hurts from the past. We don't want to remember painful memories, and I understand that. So often, what do? We deny them. We just kind of push them down by getting busy or overworking. Maybe we distract ourselves with entertainment or compulsions. Maybe we get angry or, you know, react different ways. We don't want to cry. We don't want to feel the pain, so we kind of repress it. Maybe we drink or take drugs to numb us so we don't feel the pain. Basically, we just learn to cope, don't we? We learned how to be a survivor. And when we feel these pains, we don't exactly know what to do. But these coping mechanisms that we try to use, they're just Band-Aids placed over a massive wound. They don't really fix the problem, do they? Guys, Romans 8 is so, so important. As we talk about these, as we talk about healing the past, moving forward as a victor in every way. And I'm excited to be able to share this today. Just in these first 17 verses of Romans 8, that's all I have to deal with, is Romans 1 through 17. I can't even come close to talking about all these verses today. I'm only going to talk about three of them. Because in these first 17 verses, Paul talks about things like justification. He talks about sanctification. He talks about what it means to be filled and have life in the Spirit. And what it looks like to have the Spirit living in you that fights your sin. And then finally, he talks about this interesting adoption relationship between us and God the Father. So I want to talk about all these things, but I hope to give them all justice. But for today, I sense the Lord asking me to focus on 15 through 17. Because we always need a better understanding of who we are in Christ. I appreciate, Vicky, how you pray during worship time. Our identity is important to know who we are. We need to know our spiritual identity. We need to experience God as our Abba Father. The hard part about this is that so many of you had birth fathers that have failed you or hurt you or abandoned you. I don't like asking any of us to revisit painful pasts. That's just not fun. Trying to remember when someone hurt you. But I have learned over the years something really important. It's 100% of the time that there are many believers that have this disconnect with God the Father because of their relationship with their earthly father, their birth father. There's a disconnect that it's just amazing how consistent this is true in our lives. The way your birth father treated you is probably how you see God the Father. Maybe you don't even realize it, but it's often how you do that. Now, I'm not one to blame all my problems today on my past or on my parents. Let's not be victims this morning, okay? We're not going to blame others. It's just how it is. We're going to move forward. But, because I know no one here had perfect parents. No one had a perfect anything. I'm just acknowledging the disconnect. That's all I'm trying to do this morning, is to acknowledge that sometimes there's that disconnect that I know in my head that God loves me, but in my heart, I don't feel that. I'm not connecting with God the Father like Scripture tells me to do. I can't seem to be able to do it. And a lot of people struggle, if not with your dad, with other people in your past that cause these problems. Some of you have had it pretty rough. I know a lot of your stories, and I'm amazed you're where you're at today. Praise the Lord for where you're at today. And there have been lots of victories for many of you, and probably shouldn't be that way because of your past. But praise the Lord. But some of us still need to work on some areas. We need that spiritual healing, that inner healing. I hope you're just ready to listen to the Spirit this morning. God, is there anything that you need to work on in my life from my past that I've kept hidden away? Is there something that keeps me disconnected from you, Lord? Ask those questions this day as we go through this. I hate doing this, but there's a reason I'm going to do this. I'm going to talk about the father wound, and many of you had fathers who were like this, distant, uninterested, insensitive, uncaring. It's so funny. My near-perfect dad that a lot of you have met, I can still remember remarks he made in my childhood that hurt me and affected me. I can still remember those. And I'm 58 years old. That's silly, but why do I remember those things? And I'm so glad he's not here or going to listen to this recording. So please don't pass that on to any family members. But some of us had dads who were stern and really demanding, passive, cold. Some of them were just gone. They were just too busy for you. Never satisfied with what you did. Sometimes really angry and impatient, cruel. Some even have abusive parents, abusive dads in some ways. Try to take all the fun out of life, controlling, manipulating, horrible. These are horrible words, but so true of some of our dads. Condemning, unforgiving, perfectionist. If any of these attributes represent your birth father, then it's really easy, it's pretty normal to attach those same attributes onto God, your father. You often do this with anyone who's in authority over you. Might be a boss, might be a teacher, We have teachers here. Some kids have a hard time, you know, acknowledging you, appreciating you as authority because of the way their parents treat them. And it's just a reality. We just have that disconnect sometimes because of what we want and what we need from our parents. There was a girl named Krista in our college career group that I led in the 80s. Kramer was a part of that. Bonnie was a part of that. It was a great group. Krista was interesting. She was awesome. But and she's still a friend. But you know what? She hated me. Hated me. Right from the get-go when I came there, she absolutely hated. And she let everyone know. It was public information. She hated me. And finally, after weeks, we just kind of got together and sat down and says, what is up? I haven't done anything. I haven't said anything to you. We haven't even talked yet. Why do you hate me? And she goes, because you remind me of my old boyfriend. You look just like him. And I hate him because he hurt me. And so I hate you. I'm going, I never dealt with that before. what do I say? I'm not him. My personality was nothing like this guy, I'm guessing. But she transferred her feelings of this old boyfriend onto me just because I looked like him. That's not fair. But we do the same thing. We just do the same thing sometimes without even understanding it, without even realizing it. So we got to reject doing that. We have to stop this. It is a trap of the enemy. It is a trap of the enemy that he wants to say that he's going to put bad traits of our parents onto God. We have to stop this. It's a lie. God is not distant. God is not manipulative. He's not abusive. He's not nitpicking. He's not too busy. God is not absent. He's none of those things. He's none of those things. In fact, God is the perfect, loving Father. And I want to compare the negative here now with who God is, how the Bible says that God is. I've asked some of you with some, you have some verses. Let's talk about God being, instead of being distant and uninterested, how about him being intimate and involved? Who has Psalm 139, 1 through 4? If you would stand and read it really loud. Psalm 139, 1 through 4. I'm going to read it if you don't. Oh Lord, you've examined my heart and you know everything about me. You know when I sit down or stand up. Are you ready? You know my thoughts, even when I'm far away. Excellent. God is kind and compassionate. Who has Psalm 103:8? God is accepting and he's filled with joy and love. How about Zephaniah? Oh, I don't need to do all this stuff, do I? Who is Zephaniah? When's the last time we've been in Zephaniah? Anybody? Zephaniah 3:17 says, for the Lord your God. He will rejoice over you with joyful songs. Have you ever that picture of God rejoicing over you, him singing over you? It's a beautiful picture. Who has Isaiah 40:11? He's warm and affectionate. What a picture. He's always with us. He's eager to be with me. Hebrews 13:5. Yeah, that pretty much says it, doesn't it? Boom. Loving, gentle, protective of me. Psalm 18:2. Yeah. Amen. He's trustworthy. He wants to give us a full life. Lamentations 3:22 and 23. Our God is full of grace and mercy. There's freedom for me to fail even. Hebrews 4, 15, 16. He's tenderhearted. He's forgiving. His arms are always open. Psalm 130, 1 through 4. Go for it. Wow. Amen. He's committed to my growth, and he's proud of me. Romans 8, 28 and 29. Yeah, he chose us ahead of time to be his children, to be his brothers and sisters, so that we could know that in all good things, God makes good things happen. I love those two verses together. It's awesome. What did I miss? 2 Peter 3:9, he's patient and slow to anger. Go for it. Did I miss another one? What a inexhaustive list. I haven't even started. I have more. I have so many more I'd love to share. But sometimes it's just good to take almost like a spiritual shower of these verses to remind ourselves who God the Father is. The Bible on three different occasions describes God as Abba. I know you've heard that before. I just want to just spend a little bit of time to make sure you really can grasp what we're talking about. This is a Hebrew or Aramaic term for kids, who they would call their dads. It would just be like a baby saying dada or saying daddy in the U.S. is how we do it. There's lots of ways. How would you say it in Germany? Papi, right. That's how you'd say it in Mexico, too. And there's lots of another culture, another language. How would you say daddy? Anybody know? Okay, that's fine. I was just checking for Russian spies. That's all I was doing here. So. I was watching a rerun of NCIS, and one of the agents of this great show was Ziva David, the Navy cop show. I love the show. Anyway, her father died on one episode, and she was just cradling him in her arms and going back and forth saying, Abba, Abba, Abba. And I go, wow, hey, they still use that term because she's Israeli, and she's saying that's what she grew up getting to know. So this is real. It's real stuff that's going on. And she called her dad Abba. And I thought that was so cool. The Bible is so crystal clear that God wants to be known as daddy, as Abba. Yes, he's king. Yes, he's Lord. He's all these things. And we need to acknowledge all of that. But when he's talking about our relationship with him, he wants us to know that he expects to be called and he wants to be called daddy. It's not disrespectful at all. It's a term of endearment. It's a term of respect and of love. I can't stress enough how important this is. We still haven't done the passage yet, have we? So let's finally get to it. Romans 8, here's those three verses. So you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. We have heard this. If you've been around in Romans, you've heard this 3-4 times already. You are not a slave to fear. We are not a slave to fear. Over and over. And he says it again, stresses this again. But instead, here's something brand new. You've received God's Spirit, capital S, when he adopted you as his own children. The NIV says what? That you've received the spirit of sonship. That word sonship is the Greek word for adoption. He says, we've been adopted. God has adopted us as his children. And now we can call him what? What does it say up there? Abba Father. We can call him Abba Father, for his spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. And since we are his children, we are his heirs. In fact, together with Christ, we are heirs. We are co-heirs with Christ. We are heirs of God's glory. Talking about this idea of eternity and just this idea of the inheritance that God has for his children. We are co-heirs with Christ. You guys, man, if you got that, you'd be shouting and jumping up and down. This is amazing to think about. But then he also says, here's a little stark reality. If we're going to share in his glory, we better be willing also to share in what? His suffering. It's a full-on package. You can't just take half the deal, can you? Now, I believe almost every Christ follower, whether you're new or a veteran, I think you struggle with your identity in Christ. That's one reason why as we're doing our disciple-making, as we're working together to coach, to make more disciples, we're coaching each other to focus on our identity in Christ. It's an important focus. We have to get this. Too many of us don't really understand it. We live in weakness. We live in defeat because we haven't really gotten this yet. There's this, maybe it's because of this father-sized hole that's in your heart. Maybe that's why. We struggle to know who we are. Who are we really in Christ? Why is it such a struggle? We have this skewed perception of ourselves that is so unhealthy. It's so wrong. And I'm not saying Satan's the cause of all that, but I know Satan uses it to like just grind us down and keep us in defeat. If we don't understand our identity in Christ. If you've given your life to Christ, if you're following him, man, the Lord has given you a new identity through his Spirit. Now you can call God Abba. You can call him Daddy. It's an amazing relationship. And you know what? If you don't embrace this, if you don't really live it and understand it, your Christianity is just going to be performance. You're just going to go through the motions. It's going to be powerless. You're not going to be plugged into God's strength. Because what Romans 8 is saying, it's through his Holy Spirit that now we can identify ourselves as children of God. We've been adopted. So it's so important that you get this. I read a number of articles and books this last week on some steps to take. You see, maybe see it in your bulletin if you want to follow along. Here's some of my suggestions of how, if you feel like you've got some pain issues from your past, you have some unresolved issues, and that you're coping but not really living in victory, I want to share five things that you need to work on. Anybody that has an unbalanced perception about yourself, number one is to understand the heart of God. That's what we've been talking about. We need to understand the heart of God. God never changes. God is God. And God is not your enemy. God is not distant. God is God. And what the Bible says about him, we need to claim and really believe and live accordingly, to act out accordingly. God wants you to call him Abba. So understand the heart of God. That's number one. Number two is to invite Jesus into that father wound. If that's true for you, if you feel like maybe, do I have a wound from the past? Some of you have more than one. There's just a lot of holes, and it's painful. Are there holes that are still there that you try to fill with other things? We need to invite Jesus into those wounds and to see what he wants to do to go in this process of healing so that we don't have to keep living in defeat and quit being a victim all the time. Jesus wants to heal the wounds of our past, perhaps created by your birth father. All right? Remember, guys, Jesus understands your struggles, and he is acquainted with grief, as Scripture says. He understands this. He understands what it's like to suffer. He knows what it's like to be rejected. He even knows what it's like to be abandoned, not by his father, but by his closest friends, for sure. He was abandoned, and we need to invite Jesus in to heal our wounds. When we invite him in, check this out. When we invite him in, guess what? He comes. If we invite him, he will come, and he'll work on our wounds. I have found it very helpful in the past to learn how to pray specifically of inviting Jesus into my heart to work on me. It takes specific prayer. It's not just our Father in heaven. It's like prayer that takes some time. It's inner healing. It's spiritual prayer that you have to go through, sometimes with the help of another person, often with the help of another person. Because what you do is you visualize Jesus actually coming into you and working on you, and you talk through things, you work on things. Every time I have done this, I have felt amazing gentleness and warmth and care and acceptance, and often real healing has happened. I've struggled with unforgiveness. I've struggled with some things that happened in my life that I didn't even realize that I lived out years and years later. And some of these things I'm just now getting a focus on. I'm just finally learning how to forgive and how to move on. And man, why would I live so many years of my life in victim mode like this and in unforgiveness? We need to learn what this is like, to invite Jesus in. It sounds almost kind of like Eastern religion or mysticism, like what I'm talking about, of visualizing Jesus. And it's not, though. I think they stole that from us. It's simply just, you know, Jesus is here. The Holy Spirit is here. We just are kind of, we actively work together with Jesus, saying, here, Jesus, work on this. Would you come? It's amazing what can happen if you let him do this. It might take someone to help you. You ask Jesus to reveal his truth to you, and you receive it from him. If you let him, he really does heal the brokenhearted. He floods us with his grace. He floods us with his love, not with shame or condemnation. An important part of healing prayer with Jesus is that you confess and you repent. Because there's some part of it that was your part. You had a say in some of the stuff that happened. So continually doing that is great if you invite Jesus into the wounds. Number three, you just have to accept yourself as a child of God. Maybe you don't feel it yet. Maybe the emotions haven't come yet. But can you still acknowledge and live in the truth? If you believe your Bible, do you believe what it says about you? Do you believe what it says about you? You are a child of God. And man, I know we sing it. I know you can say it, but it just, you got to get this through our thick skulls. We are children of God. What does that mean? It's amazing. I just love this. Receive the words of truth that I am accepted. Forgive me. I'm gonna be really kind of petty here and a little bit kindergarten-y. I'm going to ask you to repeat this out loud. Would you? I just want to hear you say truth to the Lord. I am accepted. You're saying it to God, not to me. I am chosen. I am loved. I am precious in your sight. I am forgiven. I've been redeemed. All these, I have an eternal inheritance. Nothing can separate me from your love. Accept yourself as a child of God. This is really important to do this kind of thing, to really practice this acceptance. As you understand the truth about God's love and you come to know your true self in Christ, it's going to free you up, man. It's going to you can let go of the pain of the past. You can forgive your birth father or whoever hurt you. This new perspective created in you will now enable you to see your birth father through different eyes. And it will allow you to live in freedom. Number four, choose to forgive. Ouch, here's the hard one. We talk about this about once a year because it's so important. You have to choose to forgive. If it's your father, yes. Whoever in your past. For me, it was a pastor. A teacher, a couple other people who were authorities in my life. I had to choose to forgive them for all the hurtful words, for abandoning us, hurtful actions, for not loving us, not blessing us, for saying one thing and then doing another. How many of you had parents like that? Don't do what I do, do what I say, right? Some of you, your parents didn't teach you about God. They didn't lead you spiritually. See, we've said it many times. Unforgiveness is like what? It's like poison. Unforgiveness is like poison that you intend for somebody else, but it stays in you and it poisons you. Unforgiveness is like poison that I intended, you know, I'm so mad, I'm not going to ever forgive my mom, or I'm not going to ever forgive my dad or whoever. I refuse to do that. They don't deserve the forgiveness. And I just let that linger in me. It's like poison. And it literally eats away at your soul. It makes you bitter. It makes you hard. It opens the door for the enemy to work in your life. Unforgiveness. Maybe they don't deserve it. I'll agree with you. They probably don't. It's not the issue. The issue is your heart. The issue is your soul. Can you learn to forgive somebody? Can you bring up a name without starting going, with your heartbeat start racing up, your blood pressure going up, and you're like, you have fists in your hands? Can you say the name without that happening? For me, it took a long, long time for someone that I could actually let my fingers go and go, Lord, you deal with this guy. I'm done with him. I'm not going to carry this. I'm not going to eat this poison anymore. He doesn't know anything about it. It's just affecting me. I forgive him. I'm moving on. Can you do that? Have you done that? Can you do it? Choose to forgive your birth father, whoever has caused you that unbalanced, unhealthy, skewed relationship with your Abba Father. So that's important. The last point I would say is to just enjoy your new relationship with Abba. Learn to enjoy it. Man, it is so amazing to have a relationship with the Lord that is this healthy and that's whole. I'm excited to see more and more of you growing in your covenant relationship with the Lord. I want you to know the answer to that question, who am I? It's so important. Who am I? I want you to be free from the pains of your past so that you can move on to victory. That's when real change happens. You need to remember again, this is what God wants for you. He wants this. His arms are open. He's ready. You have been adopted. That's in the past. That's a fact. You have been adopted if you've asked him into your heart. You're part of his family, and man, that is a big, big, big deal. I heard the story of a small boy who was consistently coming home late after school when the parents said, I want you home by like 4 o'clock, let's say. I want you home by 4, but he'd show up 4:30, 4:45, 5, you know, later and later and later, and the parents just didn't know what to do, and they would get so mad at this boy. Finally, one afternoon, after arriving very late, his mother met him at the door and said nothing. Then at dinner, the boy looked at his plate, and there was a slice of bread and a cup of water in front of him, while the rest of the family had meat and potatoes and all the good stuff. He had a piece of bread and water. Oh, this is going to be good punishment. Some of us parents are thinking, right? Oh, yeah, he's going to get his. Right? So he sat down. The dad just kind of looked at him and smiled. Kind of waited for that full impact to sink in. And when the boy finally sat down, the father quietly took his plate and switched it with his son's. And he ate the piece of bread and the cup of water. Let the boy have the dinner. Didn't say a word. But the guy that expressed this story, told this story, says, you know what? All my life, I've known what God is like because of what my father did for me. I know who God is. I've seen it modeled in my father by that simple act. God loves you. He's adopted you. You have an eternal inheritance waiting for you. And so why do you continue in the disconnect? Why do you stay there? There are steps that you need to take to get to your Abba. I hope those are clear. Maybe you can come up with more than 5. But get to know that overwhelming, never-ending love of God. And if any of you would like to go through some healing prayer to help you experience, I think I could help you through some of that. I know Patty Bentley's done quite a bit of this to help people go through this process. Maybe you'd like to talk with her. She's with her grandkids today. But yeah, maybe you want to call. I just encourage you not to linger, not to stay in this position, but to deal with it. Take it head on. Can we pray? Can we pray together? Let's just give this to the Lord. I'm going to be quiet just for a second and let you quietly tell God what you're thinking or what you're feeling right now. Just do that quietly, just you and Him. So keep your eyes closed, and I'm just going to read an old song. It's a song, we should have done this last Sunday in our 70s theme. It's a song from the 70s that's kind of dorky to sing because of the melody, but the words are so amazing. Here's what it says. From the door of an orphanage to the house of the king. No longer an outcast, a new song I sing. From rags to riches, from the weak to the strong. I'm not worthy to be here, but praise God, I belong. And then the chorus says, I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain. I've been saved by His blood. I am a joint heir with Jesus as we travel this sod. I'm part of the family. I'm part of the family of God. That's a beautiful thing. To be part of the family of God. We need to relay this on to our church family. We need to make this real in our lives. And God, if you just want to work on any of us, I give you permission to work in my heart. I don't know about the rest of them. Do you give Jesus permission just to come and work? And Lord, we just pray that we would not be coping, that we would not be victims, but that we would live in forgiveness and freedom. And in adoption, and just enjoy being part of your family. Thank you for taking me to the orphanage to be in the house of the King. I will praise you forever. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you guys. Thank you so much for today. Enjoy the Super Bowl.